This is Bruce Halperin for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and this program is The Theater. On the past few broadcasts, I have featured Broadway musicals where the star was once a Hollywood luminary. Some of these actors made the transition to the Broadway stage with ease, such as Angela Lansbury, Robert Preston, Shirley Booth, and Lauren Bacall. Some divas were not as successful, such as Betty Davis, Katharine Hepburn, and Lucille Ball. On tonight's edition of The Theater, another movie star who made her way to the Broadway musical theater stage. However, she had not been on a Broadway stage in about 40 years. Just her name and work in film was enough to bring in an audience. Did they want to see her because of her films, or were they curious to see if this woman could still tap dance? Her name is Ruby Keeler, and she was the star of the revival of the musical No, No, Nanette. No, No, Nanette features the music of Vincent Yeomans, lyrics by Irving Caesar and Otto Harbach, and a book by Otto Harbach and Frank Mandel. The original production opened on September 16, 1925, at the Globe Theater, closing on June 19, 1926, after a run of 321 performances. The revival featured a book adapted and directed by Bert Shevelov. The production was supervised by Busby Berkeley. That production opened on January 19, 1971 at the 46th Street Theater, closing on February 4, 1973 after a run of 861 performances. On the Broadway scorecard, the revival of No, No, Nanette received one rave review, two favorable reviews, and one mixed review. Starting where we always start, with some biographical information about the creative artists. This material comes from Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, and as always, there is no authorship credit given. First up, the composer, Vincent Yeomans. Vincent Millay Yeomans was born on September 27, 1898. He passed away at the age of 47 on April 5, 1946. Yeomans was an American Broadway composer and Broadway producer. A leading Broadway composer of his day, Vincent Yeomans collaborated with virtually all the great lyricists on Broadway. Ira Gershwin, Otto Harbach, Oscar Hammerstein II, Irving Caesar, Anne Caldwell, Leo Robin, Howard Dietz, Clifford Gray, Billy Rose, Edward Heyman, Howard Adamson, Buddy DeSilva, and Gus Kahn. Yeomans' early songs are remarkable for their economy of melodic material. Two, three, or four-note phrases are constantly repeated and varied by subtle harmonic and rhythmic changes. In later years, however, apparently influenced by Jerome Kern, he turned to longer musical sentences and more free-flowing melodic lines. Yeomans published fewer than 100 songs, but 18 of those were considered standards by ASCAP, a remarkably high percentage. Vincent Yeomans was born in New York City into a prosperous family of hat makers. When he was 2 years old, his father moved the family to upper-class Larchmont, New York. Yeomans attended the Trinity School in Mamaroneck, New York, and Heathcote Hall in Rye, New York. His ambition was initially to become an engineer, and he attended Yale University for a short time. He dropped out to become a runner for a Wall Street brokerage firm, but was soon drafted in the Navy during World War I, although he saw no combat. While stationed in Illinois, he took an interest in theater and began producing troop shows for the Navy. After the war, Yeomans was a Tin Pan Alley song plugger for Jerome H. Remick Music Publishers and then a rehearsal pianist for composer Victor Herbert's operettas. In 1921, He collaborated with lyricist Ira Gershwin on the score for the musical Two Little Girls in Blue, which brought him his first Broadway composing credit and his first hit song, Oh Me, Oh My, and a contract with T.B. Harms Company. His next show was Wildflower in 1923, with lyrics by Otto Harbach and Oscar Hammerstein II, which was a major success. His most enduring success was the musical No, No, Nanette, with lyrics by Irving Caesar, which reached Broadway in 1925 after an unprecedented tryout in Chicago and subsequent national and international tours. No, No, Nanette was the biggest musical comedy success of the 1920s in both Europe and the United States. And his two songs, T42 and I Want to Be Happy, were worldwide hits. Both are considered standards. T42 was consistently ranked among the most recorded popular songs for decades. In 1927, Vincent Yeomans began producing his own Broadway shows. He also left his publisher, T.B. Harms Company, and began publishing his own songs. He had a major success with the musical Hit the Deck in 1927, which included the hit songs Sometimes I'm Happy and Hallelujah. After 1927, his subsequent productions were failures, despite the song hits they featured, such as Great Day and Without a Song from the musical Great Day, written in 1929, Time on My Hands from the 1930 musical Smiles, and the title song from Through the Years. His last contributions to Broadway were additional songs for the 1932 production Take a Chance. In 1933, Vincent Yeomans wrote the songs for the movie Flying Down to Rio. This was the first film to feature Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers as a featured dancing pair. His score contained the songs Orchids in the Moonlight, The Carioca, Music Makes Me, and the title song. The film was a tremendous hit, and it revived the composer's professional prospects, though he never again wrote for Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. After a professional career of 13 years, Vincent Yeomans was forced into retirement in 1934 after contracting tuberculosis. He spent the remainder of his life battling the disease. His only return to Broadway was to mount an ill-fated extravaganza entitled Vincent Yeomans Ballet Revue in 1943. This was an ambitious mix of Latin American and classical music, including Ravel's Daphnis et Chloé. This was choreographed by Lenizide Messine. It lost some $4 million. Vincent Yeomans died of tuberculosis at the age of 47 in Denver, Colorado. At the time of his death, Yeomans left behind a large quantity of unpublished material. In 1970, Yeomans was posthumously inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In 1971, the musical No, No, Nanette enjoyed a notable Broadway revival starring Ruby Keeler and choreographed by legendary Hollywood choreographer Busby Berkeley, which was widely credited with beginning the nostalgia era on Broadway. In 1983, Yeomans was inducted into the American Theater Hall of Fame. That is all Wikipedia has to say about Vincent Yeomans. Wikipedia has less to say about the lyricist Irving Caesar. Irving Caesar was born on July 4, 1895. He passed away at the age of 101 on December 18, 1996. Irving Caesar was an American lyricist and theater composer who wrote lyrics for numerous song standards, including Swanee, Sometimes I'm Happy, Crazy Rhythm, and T42, one of the most frequently recorded tunes ever written. In 1972, Irving Caesar was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Irving Caesar, the son of Morris Kaiser, a Romanian Jew, was born Isidore Kaiser in New York City. His older brother, Arthur Caesar, was a successful Hollywood screenwriter. The Caesar brothers spent their childhood and teen years in Yorkville, the same Manhattan neighborhood where the Marx brothers were raised. Caesar knew the Marx brothers during his childhood. Caesar was educated at Chappaqua Mountain Institute in Chappaqua, New York. In his career, Irving Caesar collaborated with a wide variety of composers and songwriters, including Rudolf Frimmel, George Gershwin, Sigmund Romberg, Victor Herbert, Ted Koehler, and Ray Henderson. Two of his best-known numbers, I Want to Be Happy and Tea for Two, were written with Vincent Yeomans for the 1925 musical No, No, Nanette. Another of his biggest hits, Animal Crackers in My Soup, was popularized by Shirley Temple in her 1935 film Curly Top. Just a Gigolo, his 1929 adaptation of an Austrian song, was a hit for Louis Prima in the 1950s and again for David Lee Roth in the 1980s. Irving Caesar served on the board of directors of ASCAP from 1930 to 1946 and again from 1949 to 1966. He was the founder of the Songwriters Guild of America. Irving Caesar died at the age of 101 in New York on December 18th, 1996. And that is all Wikipedia has to say about Irving Caesar. Musical theater historian Ethan Mordden writes in his book, One More Kiss, the Broadway Musical in the 1970s. This is a book published by Palgrave, which was at the time an imprint of Macmillan. It was released in 2003. Ethan Mordden writes in a chapter called The Revival. There is no surer evidence that an art is ailing than when it takes out a mortgage on its past to pay for its future. A golden age is spendthrift, greedy for new talent. Typically, when the Third Age began, there were virtually no revivals. The exceptions are outstanding. The Schuberts' elaborate mounting of the musical Floridora in 1920, for instance, simply because its celebrated sextet was still so famous a generation later that everyone wanted a look at the rest of the show. Florenz Ziegfeld put the original Showboat production back on stage 3 years after it had closed, simply because the score had become so beloved that folks wanted to hear it again. It was only in the 1940s that revivals started turning up in any significant numbers. Not counting the usual Gilbert and Sullivan from various groups, the City Center's spring season of limited-run resuscitations, the 1940s hosted about a dozen revivals. This takes in Porgy and Bess, a Connecticut Yankee, Showboat, yet again, and Sally. One can only speculate on the reason for this retrospective flurry. However, every so often there comes a production whose flash success creates an imitative cycle. It is not necessarily the first or the best. It is the most prosperous, and its news travels. And that is the No, No, Nanette of 1971, conceived by Harry Rigby as virtually a rising of the dead. Bygone talent would head the cast and even stage it. Indeed, No, No, Nanette beat out Gigi in bringing the movie musical onto Broadway, for Harry Rigby's notion was, roughly, a Warner Brothers No, No, Nanette of about 1935, starring Ruby Keeler and Patsy Kelly and directed by Busby Berkeley. A great deal of saga informs this event, especially regarding the firings and the surprises. For example, Busby Berkeley turned out to be an alcoholic zombie. Bert Shevelov took over. And after the triumphant premiere, the legal battle for ownership between Harry Rigby and his producer, Seema Rubin. At the time, it was the talk of the town, especially when Don Dunn's book on the backstage of it all was serialized in New York Magazine. What matters now is how cleverly three creative elements could join to make No, No, Nanette into a fresh antique. crisply and lovingly modernized, it nevertheless made no attempt to be taken at the same value as the new shows of the time. It wanted to be seen as something of the 1920s for the 1970s, not as something of the 1970s. For instance, the height of the bickering between Nanette, played by Susan Watson, and her boyfriend Tom, played by Roger Rathbone, in dialogue during the title number, found her calling him, quote, a flat tire, end quote, to his exasperated, quote, you can go fly a kite, end quote. This was not camping, but rather a styling of the innocence of the 20s musical. Even the long outdated Finaletto, the dialogue and reprises ensemble number with which 20s musicals capped an act, was retained. The idea was to revisit the show on its terms as much as possible, which is why the book was largely rewritten, but the score not much tampered with. A few minor numbers were cut, and one addition called Always You, and establishing the older couple, played by Ruby Keeler and Jack Gilford, made it as far as the Boston tryout. Later in Boston, another new number, called Only a Moment Ago, replaced it. This, too, was cut because the song didn't properly establish the famously dancing Ruby Keeler. While Patsy Kelly opened the finished show in a goofy battle with a vacuum cleaner, Ruby Keeler tantalized with some unimportant dialogue till she reappeared in Tap Kit to tear the house apart with the chorus boys in the song I Want to Be Happy. The three creative elements that conceived and perfected the Nanette revival are Bert Shevlov, his musical staff, Buster Davis, dance arranger Luther Henderson, and orchestrator Ralph Burns, and designer Raoul Penoir Dubois. It was Bert Shevlov who figured out how much of 1925 worked for 1971, where to cut and where to improve. This is important history because many revivals rewrite generally. Bert Shevlov rewrote only where he thought rewriting necessary. Otherwise, why are you rewriting? The musical staff made the most of one of the 20s most tuneful scores. I Want to Be Happy and Tea for Two stood among the enduring standards. But the songs Too Many Rings Around Rosie, You Can Dance with Any Girl at All, and the torch number Where Has My Hubby Gone Blues were marvelous rediscoveries. They provided Helen Gallagher with the best opportunity of her career. Her role as Lucille is arguably the revival's woman lead. As Gallagher alternated flippant with concerned, all-knowing with utterly lost. Too Many Rings Around Rosie, the first vocal in Bert Shevlov's revision, is ground zero musical comedy philosophy. You Can Dance gave Gallagher and Bobby Van their challenge dance in different styles. The torch number, an 11 o'clocker, with Helen Gallagher in blue silk backed by the boys in tuxedos, was so stunning that the show never quite recovered. One always felt that it ended 15 minutes before it ended. Raoul Penadebois' sets and costumes also helped focus the public's understanding of what Bert Shevlov was doing. The girls' pleated skirts, the boys' Art Deco sweaters, the beribboned dresses and men's belted suits were not merely authentication of period, but a repositioned of musical comedy as a carefree adventure in the age of dark shows, dreary shows, and concept shows. The ruthless pastels, the hypnotic stripes and spangles, the onslaught of ukuleles in the finale, Happy Land. In the middle of a theatrical season in which God drowned most of humanity and showbiz itself cracked apart in despair, No No Nanette resuscitated the kind of musical one meant by the word musical. This revival's phenomenal success sent the work to many stages, always with professional resuscitations. June Allison and Dennis Day, with Judy Canova as the maid on one tour, Evelyn Keyes and Don Ameche with Ruth Donnelly on another. Near the end of its 2-year run, the New York No-No Nanette welcomed Martha Raye back to Broadway as the maid. It was a bit of a come-down after Martha Raye's performance as Hello, Dolly, but it is necessary to the survival of Western civilization that our great performers got their stage time. And again, that is from Ethan Mordden's book, One More Kiss, the Broadway musical in the 1970s. This book, published by Palgrave, which at the time was an imprint of Macmillan, it was published in 2003. This material comes from musical theater historian and critic Peter Felice's book, Broadway Musicals, The Biggest Hit and the Biggest Flops of the Season from 1959 to 2009. This book was published by Applause and released in 2010. Peter Felice writes, "The Biggest Hit of 1970-71, No No Nanette. Broadway discovers its past as it never has before." In a 20-year span, producer Harry Rigby has managed to get only 4 shows to Broadway, all of which flopped. Now, in 1969, he wants to revive a 45-year-old show called No No Nanette. Everyone tells him that Broadway wants new musicals, not revivals. Then Harry Rigby meets Seema Rubin, who got her fortune the way most women did then, by marrying a second time. Her husband is Sam, of Revlon Cosmetics fame. Rigby tells Rubin that a No No Nanette revival could be the hit of the 70s, under 4 conditions. First, the leading lady must be played by Ruby Keeler. You remember Ruby Keeler in the movie 42nd Street, where the producer says, "You're going out there a youngster, but you've got to come back a star." Second, Patsy Kelly, sassy comedian who began her film career in 1929, must play her maid. Third, directing will be 50s film legend Busby Berkeley. Fourth, the musical director will be Buster Davis, who's helmed orchestras of 4 shows, all flops. Mrs. Rubin agrees, and her husband puts up virtually the entire $500,000 budget for a musical that sounds very old. Jimmy Smith, played by Hiram Sherman, is a Bible salesman who's now at the dangerous age. He flirts not only with Winnie from Washington, but also with Betty from Boston and Flora from Frisco. Jimmy's wife, Sue, played by Ruby Keeler, suspects nothing, but her best friend, Lucille, played by Helen Gallagher, decides to tell her what's going on. Lucille soon has problems of her own because she'll suspect her husband, Billy, played by Bobby Van, of infidelity, too. And who's Nanette, played by Carol Demas, and how does she fit into all of this? She's Sue's protege, who's smitten with young Tom. Enamored though she is, Nanette feels she should experience life a little more before she settles down. But Tom sure doesn't want Nanette to commit a no-no. The original's pre-Broadway tryout in 1925 was surely the strangest ever. No No Nanette opened in Chicago, ostensibly for a few weeks, but it became a sensation and lasted 49 weeks there. Then came 4 national companies before the show even opened on Broadway for 321 performances. Clearly, though, it wasn't all smooth sailing, for during rehearsals and the tryout, producer-director H.H. Frazee replaced the performers who portrayed Jimmy, Lucille, and Nanette. And that was nothing compared to the bloodletting that Seema Rubin would cause. Starting with the first rehearsal and right down to the show's final tryout stop in Baltimore, no fewer than 35 were fired, including Harry Rigby. Hiram Sherman gave way to Jack Gilford, and Carol Demas gave way to Susan Watson. Busby Berkeley would direct in name only, and his successor, Bert Shevlov, would considerably rewrite the book and add a few songs that weren't part of the original. The critics and the public didn't care. The former raved, and the latter flocked to the 46th Street Theater. Producers thought, is nostalgia what the public wants? Few had thought so. Take the 20 years before this no-no Nanette opened. Broadway played host to only 8 commercial musical revivals. Music in the Air, in 1951. Of the I Sing, Shuffle Along, and Pal Joey, in 1952. Porgy and Bess, in 1953. In 1960, Finian's Rainbow. Annie Get Your Gun, in 1966. And The Boyfriend, in 1970. Most were faithful recreations of the original, and most flopped. Because No No Nanette didn't, money men started looking to the past instead of the present for their future productions. In the next 20 years, Broadway saw 69 musical revivals, 14 of which were presented with one or more additional songs or substantial changes to the book. Those producing the shows often said, quote, we're bringing the show into the modern age, end quote. So many changes were often made that a new word was spawned, revisals. In the next 2 decades, the pattern hadn't ceased. For better or worse, No No Nanette's 2 lasting contributions to Broadway were the revival and the revisal. These became so plentiful that in 1977, the Tonys invented a category for both play and musical revivals, and in 1994 gave Best Revival of a Musical a category all its own. And once again, that material is from musical theater historian and critic Peter Felice's book, Broadway Musicals, The Biggest Hit and Biggest Flop of the Season, from 1959 to 2009. This book was released by Applause in 2010. Columbia Masterworks issued the original 1971 Broadway revival of No No Nanette. It has been reissued on CD. Included in the CD package is this short essay by Mark Kirkaby. He writes, confidential to the 14,003 producers trying to bring roadshows of old musicals to Broadway. Number one, load up on wonderful stars of yesteryear and let them show the audience why they became stars in the first place. Number two, don't scrimp on behind-the-scenes talent either. What passes for set design, choreography, and direction in any town USA may look like church basement theater on Broadway. Number three, or forget one and two, and just take a long look at the 1971 revival of No No Nanette. Revivals come and go each season, of course. No No Nanette, the revival, earns its place in history not just for its quality, not just for its success, but also for its having bucked the trends of its time and having reminded us why people bother to buy theater tickets in the first place. Remember 1970? On the nightly news, anti-war protests and racial tensions competed for airtime with the deadly body counts from Southeast Asia. The Beatles broke up, but the classic Tin Pan Alley Broadway song had effectively disappeared from the popular musical scene as well. Broadway was still reverberating from the shock of the musical Hair and the counterculture musicals that followed. The traditional Broadway show, supposedly, had all the future of black-and-white television. Already, though, some unconscious yearning was creating a reaction, a sort of cultural self-defense. Downtown, a charming little spoof of old Busby Berkeley musicals called Dames at Sea was running and running and running, having made a star of Bernadette Peters. Another spoofy bijou, The Boyfriend, was being turned into a Kurt Russell movie and proving that Twiggy could act. Tapping, so to speak, into some nostalgia's zeitgeist was the producers Seema Rubin and Harry Rigby, who had begun to reassemble what had arguably been the biggest musical comedy hit of the 1920s, this time with the aid of Busby Berkeley himself. Their road to Broadway, as so often in these cases, contained its share of potholes, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Remember 1925? Well, me neither. Prohibition, flappers, raccoon coats, The Great Gatsby, Babe Ruth. A liberated younger generation. A musical adaptation of a play called His Lady Friends had been commissioned by the producer H.H. Frazee, who brought in the composer Vincent Yeomans and the lyricist Irving Caesar. Yeomans, born the day after George Gershwin, would, like George Gershwin, die young. This show, as much as any other, enshrines his work. No No Nanette opened in Detroit, moved to Chicago for nearly a year, and already had sent out road companies and opened in London before it even arrived on Broadway, where it played for almost a year longer. Frazee's big moment in all of this, if history may be believed, came while they were still in Detroit and bombing. Frazee recast the show and, more important, demanded new songs from Yeomans and Caesar, whence came merely T for Two and I Want to Be Happy. The results? Broadway success and three movies, 1930, 1940, and the reworked 1950 Doris Day vehicle called T for Two. We repeat this story because 45 years later, No No Nanette underwent much the same backstage drama. Out of town, under Busby Berkeley's direction and choreography, the show was not impressing its audiences, despite the presence of Broadway veterans Helen Gallagher, who starred in a revival of Pal Joey, Bobby Van, Patsy Kelly, and most notably, Ruby Keeler, star of Busby Berkeley's film 42nd Street, the 1933 movie Source of Dames at Sea, and much else. She was making her return to Broadway after 41 years. So, Seema Rubin bought out Harry Rigby, demoted Busby Berkeley, though still crediting him as production supervisor, and turning the directing over to Bert Shevelov, who also rewrote the script. Bert Shevelov, a Sid Caesar TV veteran, was a co-creator of the musical A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. As in 1925, out went several cast members. The newcomers included Jack Gilford, the sad-eyed, soft-voiced comedian who had been a Broadway fixture through the 1960s in such hits as A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum and Cabaret. Susan Watson, Broadway's favorite ingenue since her star-making performance as the original Kim in Bye Bye Birdie. This mad ship of fools, with a totally inexperienced captain, herself, in Seema Rubin's fond recollection, opened at the 46th Street Theater on January 19, 1971, to reviews that generally loved the stars, loved the dancing, and loved the notion that such a show could even exist on Broadway. Most notably, though, everybody loved the look. Rubin's visual sense, abetted by the famed costume designer Raoul Penneau de Bois, turned No No Nanette into a fashion event. Rubin remembers fashion designers in the audience and backstage sketching. That carried over into a revival of interest in Art Deco design and helped kindle the nostalgia craze. They enjoyed 861 performances and almost 2 years on Broadway, more than twice as long as the original. 7 Tony nominations produced 4 awards. 1 for costumes, 1 for choreography, 1 for Helen Gallagher as Best Supporting Actress in a Musical, 1 for Patsy Kelly as Supporting Actress. Road Companies again tapped and Charleston their way across America. And who's to say they won't be back again? At age 75, No-No Nanette would need less work than the 20 years younger revival of Annie Get Your Gun. And that is a short piece included in the CD reissue of the Columbia Masterworks original Broadway cast revival of the 1971 production of No-No Nanette. Back in the good old days of radio, when disc jockeys played records, we really had a great friend in Columbia Records. It was not unusual to get several promotional copies of new releases from that label, especially when they had a Broadway cast recording to promote. They would also provide additional material, backstage interviews with the stars. Here is one such example. A fellow by the name of Lee Jordan interviewed several of the performers of No-No Nanette.
This is Lee Jordan backstage at No-No Nanette, the new 1925 musical that's been playing to packed houses at the 46th Street Theater in New York since it opened in January 1971. No-No Nanette is reported to have made $2 million back in the 20s when it played with a top ticket price of $3.25. The top price now is $15 on Friday and Saturday nights. It's grossing $107,000 a week. So who can guess what it'll make in the 1970s? Join me now in making some backstage visits with the stars. Some made just after opening night, some after the Broadway Tony Awards were presented. First, we'll meet Ruby Keeler, out of show business since 1940, brought back by No-No Nanette.
Wow. A $15 top in 1971. Now, in 2017, it will cost you at least $150 for one ticket to a Broadway show.
Ruby Keeler, congratulations on this fantastic opening night in No-No Nanette.
Thank you.
And your return to Broadway.
Well, I'm as thrilled as I can be, as you can guess.
Now, when you made your first movie, which I believe was 42nd Street.
Right, that's right.
Everybody quotes the famous line of the director who said, when you go out there, can you quote it?
Well, I don't remember it. Oh. I've just heard so many people say it, and it has been a quote. Go out there, a chorus girl, and come back a star. I do not think of myself as a star. And my thought and my prayer was that people would like the show itself. I think that that's the most important thing for a successful show. And I think we have a wonderful cast. What more can I say?
Well, Ruby, when you stepped down that stair on this opening scene set in No-No Nanette opening night, the audience greeted you with a fantastic ovation.
Yes, wasn't it marvelous? I didn't know if what I was going to do, how I was so emotionally inside. I didn't know whether to stand there or cry or laugh. I just didn't know what to do. And then I hoped I would remember the line I had to say after that. Each time I come down the stairs and receive this lovely recognition. And after all, I've been away so very long. I mean, I haven't been around at all. And it's, you can imagine what it would do to a person. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Patsy Kelly won a Tony Award for her performance as the maid in No-No Nanette.
Patsy Kelly, congratulations on this Tony Award.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, when you accepted it on stage, you said you thought you might go home and faint, and I just wonder if you did.
I got off stage and fainted. It was the thrill of a lifetime. I can't see. The nomination was enough. That was too much. I never expected. I never even won a raffle ticket. It's been a long time since I've been back, and it would take a lifetime to explain the feeling. And yet with happiness and joy, and it's a thrill. It's awfully silly to sit back and say, well, whether I win or not, you know. But it is. It was something that I could never define. You see, I started at the Palace Theater when I was 10. And here I am now in the Palace Theater, and it all of a sudden hit me. All I could see was Frank Fay up on stage, who started me. You know, see, I started at the top, worked my way down. And here I was back at the Palace, and all of a sudden my name is called, and I'm walking up. You know, I fell up the steps, almost went into the pit, because it was like your whole life going before you for the last 51, 52 years. There was an emotion there. It is the most terrifyingly thrilling thing that can happen to anybody.
Patsy, what was your first reaction when you were asked to come to Broadway to perform in No, No, Nanette Revival?
Well, number one, I thought, No, No, Nanette Revival. Then I heard the magic word, Ruby Keeler, whom, as you know, we've known each other for many, many years. I said, gee, it sounds wonderful. Then I heard Tifa, too. I said, oh, the music is beautiful. But, you know, your friends can kill you. A lot of people said to me, No, No, Nanette, Ruby Keeler and you. I said, you two old bats can't walk. And it was a kind of but there was something inside that, well, you know, the idea of getting back to Broadway and everything went with it, was a thrill. And I figured, well, so it'll last a week or two. It's still a kick.
Helen Gallagher starred in Hazel Flagg on Broadway, and she's gotten great applause in Sweet Charity and many Broadway shows. In No, No, Nanette, a Tony Award for Helen Gallagher as Best Musical Star.
Helen, congratulations on your winning the Tony for Best Musical Star.
Thank you. Wasn't that something? I don't know. I thought I was going to tremble off the stage. Strangely enough, I don't think my reaction, the overwhelming reaction that I had, came from getting the prize. Strangely enough, I think it was from the audience reaction to my getting the prize. It was really wild. It was like everybody was saying, atta girl. Because, strangely enough, I mean, actors don't win prizes just alone. You win it for a combination of things. You win it, first of all, for the show that you're in, and second of all, for the part in the show, and then third of all, for you. But, you know, the same actress in another show would not get a Tony. And so I sort of held back, you know, kind of hoping I would, not thinking I would, you know, that kind of thing was going on in my brain.
No, No, Nanette, with music by Vincent Yeomans and lyrics by Irving Caesar and Otto Harbach. The 1971 Broadway revival was recorded by Columbia Masterworks. Well, here's a brief synopsis of the music you're going to hear. Act 1. As we open, Nanette's small army of suitors visits the house and is welcomed by Sue's friend Lucille Early. Lucille is played by Helen Gallagher. She is a shopaholic married to Jimmy's lawyer, Billy Early. Billy was played by Bobby Vann. Admirers are fine, Lucille tells the young folks, but in song, she says, too many rings around Rosie may keep Nanette from finding a husband. From the original 1971 Broadway cast revival of No, No, Nanette, Helen Gallagher and the boys sing the song, Too Many Rings Around Rosie.
In an early childhood day, when December seemed like May, ring around the Rosie with the boys I used to play. Tommy, Andy, Harold, Joe ate my candy, then would go. I tried to please them all, you know. That's why not one became my beau. Too many rings around Rosie. We'll never get Rosie a ring. Too many beaus when she should have one. You know we'll never bring her a ring around her finger. One little name to remember is better than having a string. It doesn't hurt to flirt a bit, but use it as bait. Make your match, make your catch before it's too late. 'Cause too many rings around Rosie will never get Rosie a ring. Men are only grown-up boys. Pretty ladies are their toys. Here today, tomorrow they're in search of other joys. is nice to have a few all go loco over you. Still one ring to call your own is worth a half a dozen on the phone. Oh, too many rings around. Rosie will never get Rosie a ring. Too many bows when she should have one. You know we'll never bring her. When you are out on a fling. But when you think of home and hearth and that sort of stuff, me oh my, one good guy is more than enough. And too many rings around Rosie will never get Rosie a ring.
She should have one. Yet no, we'll never bring her a ring around her finger. One little name to remember is better than having a string.
Oh, it's low these many years since marriage began. Even then, what were men compared to a man? Oh, too many rings around Rosie will never get Rosie a.
Poor little Rosie a.
Never get Rosie a ring.
Never get Rosie a ring.
Continuing in the first act, Nanette's friends are Atlantic City bound, and Nanette wants to go along unchaperoned. Her guardians won't agree, but then Jimmy, on the side, slips her $200. The song is called I Want to Be Happy, and Columbia Records included the tap dance by Ruby Keeler. The song is sung by Jack Gilford and Susan Watson.
I'm a very ordinary man, trying to work out life's happy plan, doing unto others as I'd like to have them doing unto me. When I find a very lonely soul, to be kind becomes my only goal. I feel so much better when I tell them my philosophy. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you say you are blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy too.
No one's ever talked like this to me. I have never known such sympathy. Only in my dreams it really seems to me it's too good to be true. There are smiling faces everywhere. Surely I deserve my little share. I'm a lucky girl. happy till I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth-giving. Why can't I give some to you? When skies are gray and you say you are blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. 'Cause I want to be happy, but I won't be happy till I make you happy.
Till I make you happy.
Till I make you happy too.
In Act Two, Tom and Nanette bump into each other, and the romantic cottage by the sea setting begins to turn Nanette's thoughts to home and marriage. From the 1971 Broadway cast revival of No, No, Nanette, Roger Rathbone and Susan Watson sing.
I'm discontented with homes that are rented, so I have invented my own. Darling, this place is a lover's oasis where life's weary chase is unknown. Far from the cry of the city where flowers pretty caress the streams, cozy to hide in, to live side by side in. Don't let it abide in my dreams. Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. Start to bake a sugar cake for me to take for all the boys to see. We will raise a family, a boy for you, a girl for me. Can't you see how happy we
to command it, please do. All that you desiring, but can't you see? I'd like to wait, dear, for some future day, dear. It won't be too late, dear, for me. Picture me upon your knee, just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. And start to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys to see.
No, No, Nanette, with music by Vincent Yeomans, lyrics by Irving Caesar and Otto Harbach, with a book by Otto Harbach and Frank Mandel. The original production opened on September 16, 1925 at the Globe Theater and closed on June 19, 1926 after a run of 321 performances. The 1971 revival was adapted and directed by Bert Shevelov, with production supervised by Busby Berkeley. The production opened on January 19, 1971 at the 46th Street Theater and closed on February 4, 1973 after a run of 861 performances. And with that, we will call this edition of the theater a wrap. I am Sunsound's volunteer, Bruce Halperin, inviting you to join me again next Sunday night at 9 o'clock when we will do this all again. And until we meet again, this reminder, you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, a member-supported service.